Good afternoon. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Monday the 14th of March. Again, sorry I'm late. Just got so much on at the minute, and obviously Cheltenham week as well. Football, just relentless. I will try and get these Monday pods out earlier going forward. So much the same as last week, there'll be... I'm just going to do a little bit of waffle, and then I've got a pre-recorded mindset... Hopefully, I think swear-free version. I think I've managed swear-free to add on the end. This week, it's on goals and planning. And this is going to be two parts. So I've done one part this week. And then I'll add another part next week to carry on this theme. You know, very much this first few weeks is just about set up, decisions to be made, what you want to do. And then, as I say, we'll move into the mechanics. And I'll break that up a little bit so that we talk about, you know, again, people at different levels that... You know, oh, here we go, starting again. That, you know, we can talk about staking and models and things in the middle of it. In effect, they can then all go together in a long sequence. But a few things before that. Told you Spurs, didn't I? I said over 4.5, over 5.5 early. Spurs, absolutely useless. Did fancy us to get a couple, got a couple, but let in three. And the Arsenal machine rolled on, so I think that's pretty much top four. I think they've got something like 28 points out of the last 33, Arsenal. Sucks, he's trying to tell me that we're as good as them. Absolutely rubbish, and they are, I think, only behind Liverpool and City in form, and they will get the top four. I've got Southampton, well, I don't know what happened there. I've had a bit of a drubbing at the football the last couple of weeks, and I think that... fill your boots, and then you think, oh Christ almighty, 2-0 down in 25 minutes. Leeds won, Everton lost again, right banging it now, Everton banging trouble. Really going to be interesting the last third of this season to see what happens now. We're sort of two-thirds through to see what happens with that Everton if they go down. I mean, just I can see it being disastrous for them. What else has happened? What else has happened? Never talk about the poor old passing away of Shane Warne. I mean, there's very few, and I'm no mass cricket watcher, you know, but you do watch the Ashes. I prefer Test cricket to all the pyjama stuff, as I've said before. But it's a sort of cliche that the word legend gets thrown about too easy, but he was, for me, an absolute sporting legend. You know, the way he played the game, the way he bowled, what he did, as you know, made spin bowling trendy, didn't he? From the sort of days of John Embry and people like that I can remember. Just an absolute fantastic guy, and what an absolute... really, again, another one that sort of really shakes you. And gee whiz, only 52. But a character. That's what the one thing I like in sports people is a character, and what an absolute character he is. That guy, absolute character. But what a real shame that was, his passing. What else is there? What else? I'm not going to lament on the Chelsea issue any longer. I've done that. As always, I had things to talk about, and then I forget all about them. I get bogged down in what I'm doing. Oh, obviously Cheltenham, isn't it? Of course it is. We got Cheltenham starting tomorrow. I will email you guys tonight just to let you know the plan for those of you in Andy's stuff. There'll be an email out to you tonight. The stuff will be up by 11:30 each day. There'll be Andy's in running notes, pace maps and things for each race. And his then a sort of further analysis document. So basically, done over 40,000 words last week, and that the stuff that you got, over 40,000 words. But obviously, then summarising that on race day into where he'll be targeting and his sort of ongoing analysis of how he sees it panning out. Again, the guys who've been on that, any feedback that you want to give us, everything I've heard has been positive, but if anybody's got any issues with it, let me know. But if you think it's positive, because obviously then we can decide whether we do these things forward. But absolutely brilliant. I will then be running two blogs this year, if time permits. I'll be running the one I've run for the past few years, where I put my bets up from the guys that I know and deal with, and what I'm going to bet off that. I see a lot of horses and try and pick my way through it. Won 700 odd quid last year. I know some of you like to follow that, again, at your own peril, but I'll have that set up and I'll post the link each morning for that, for all 4 days. And then I'm going to run a blog, which I'll, the guys on Andy's thing, I'll send you tonight. This will be new for me, so I don't know exactly how it's going to pan out, but basically if the stuff I'm taking from Andy, so if I do, I'm going to try and do a little bit of trading, and I wouldn't take my word at it, but if there's one that Andy thinks is too short, for example, I might well lay it pre-race with a view to backing it in race, and I'll try and tell you what I'm going to do there. But I'll just keep that, and I'll send you a password to access that, because obviously it will relate to what he's written. And we'll see how we go there. Anything you do is at your own peril, but once again, haven't really had time. Normally I've had a bit more of a look at it. I haven't really had a time to have a good look at it other than read Andy's stuff this year. So I'm going into it a little bit blind, but it is something I just love. It's one of the great sporting spectacles for me. So we have got that and look forward to it. What else have we got? What else have we got? There is a bit of midweek football. We got, EFL football. And then we will be moving towards the final international break. I think it's the final one. You never know in this game now. But the final international break of the season. And then on to the end of the season. And Tottenham finishing 8th or 9th. Right, yeah, that's it. So I will leave you be now, and you can move straight into this mindset episode. I think it's about half an hour. I'm going to try and keep them 20 minutes to half an hour and not waffle too much. But this today is all about goal setting, really. I think the episode itself tells you everything. So I will leave you with that. Have a cracking week. Enjoy Cheltenham. I will be back probably Wednesday, but do look out for emails and tweets and telegrams if you want to follow the Cheltenham blog. That's where I'll be putting it up. I will email it out each day. Let's all hope we have a great week and all the horses come back safely. So this is episode 2B, if you will, in this new series of mindset, training, whatever we want to call them, podcast. Just a quick recap on episode 1 first, last time. That did bring in a fair few queries, and I just want to reiterate the underlying message of that. It wasn't, as I said at the time, a sob story for me. It was basically everybody have it hard at times. Nobody knows what is going on in other people's lives at any time. We can all be mean, we can all be nasty, we can all make excuses, and we can all feel sorry for ourselves. The ones who tend to rise up and make things happen themselves tend to be the ones who succeed, and no one else can do that for you. If you change your focus to what you can do for yourself and not relying on other people, not looking at what other people do. People can certainly help you and guide you, but ultimately, if you can't get up off your own backside and make things work for you, certainly in this game, the betting trading game, you're unlikely to succeed. Paying attention to yourself, removing negative, unhelpful people as quickly as possible, ignoring what others are doing and setting your own journey, a far more valuable use of your time than, all the nonsense that I sort of alluded to last week. So that really was the underlying message that, we can all sit and feel sorry, but if you get up and actually get stuck into something, I'm certainly nothing special, then other people can, you can do what I can do. I say 2A because this whole, I don't want to make these really, really long and go on and on for hours, so we're going to focus on goal setting and planning before we get into any sort of mechanics of what we do. So it's 2A is going to focus a look at a bit at goals and goal setting, and 2B a bit more into the planning stage.
They may overlap because that's just the way that I speak, just my style, and I maintain that I'm not a presenter. My experience with all these things, and I stress again, and I will stress this in every episode, that these are my thoughts, my views. You can do with them what you will. Ignore them, class them as rubbish. I'm not interested. For the people who do value this series, I will try my best to help you and offer advice that I think will help you. My views won't always agree with yours, won't always agree with other people's. Absolutely no point if you don't agree, you know, trying to argue, because it's not up for an argument or a debate. This is purely my thoughts and how I would go about things if I was starting now. And my experience with all these things, doesn't matter what it is, gambling, betting, trading, weight loss, fitness, business ideas, not drinking, not smoking, whatever it may be, my experience is, overwhelming experience as well, is that they are talked about with great enthusiasm, but that wanes very quickly. And once any sign of hardship or hard work kicks in, people just bin it off and move on to the next big idea that they have. I hope through this series to try and keep some people at it, and keep you at it if you're going to go down this road. But you've got to take some matters into your own hands, and really use things like this as a support. If we look at just betting, trading, gambling, whatever we want to call it, and I'm not getting into that debate, it's all much the same. Ultimately, we are all gambling. It's a multifaceted skill that, unfortunately, most people go about completely arse about face, and as such don't succeed. And we can trace it right back, because there really is never ever, for most people, you know, like, there will be people going, I have done that, and that's great, but there's, for most people, there's nearly never a clearly defined plan or goals to work to. And if they do that stage, they don't stick to them. And I'm gonna show some numbers from a couple of papers I've read that sort of back up this, where people just give up in walks of life, unfortunately. If we did a random poll of bettors, traders, it's perhaps one I can do, I'm certain without doubt that the driving motivation for most people behind it is money. I want to win money tends to be the starting point. And if that thought process becomes I must win money, then I, for me, that is the road to destruction and makes things much worse. If we must win money, our sole focus is on every single result. The sum doesn't matter, but let's just say, you know, we need to win, must win £500 a month. Every £10 lost takes you away from that figure. So as the days tick down and you're not hitting your target, obviously that's going to build pressure to do things, and perhaps do things differently, and it just makes everything so much harder. Pressure is simply a self-inflicted emotion. No one puts pressure on you. It is totally self-generated. We all feel pressure at different times in our life, often, you know, irrationally. You know, first tee at golf, you know, people tense up, see beads of sweat, grip the club tighter. Making, you know, let's take weddings, making a best man speech. You know, I've done that. We put pressure on ourselves in the build-up, worried mostly what other people will think of it. Will it be funny? Will people judge me? The fact is that most people are at a wedding to have a damn good time. They're there for the bride and groom. They want you to succeed in your speech. They want to hear a good speech. They don't want to laugh at you. And unless they're an absolute numpty, they're not going to come up to you and go, well, that was rubbish, mate. It just doesn't happen. You know, and if they did, they're just not quite the right person. But it just doesn't happen. You know, I've made wedding speeches. I've attended a lot of weddings. I've never, ever heard anyone say, well, that was a rubbish speech or whatever. And certainly not to the person who's made it. People just want to have a good time. But we put this pressure on ourselves to perform. You know, penalties in football. It is, you know, I've had arguments with this with people. It is self-inflicted emotion. There is nothing else. There's no external thing putting pressure on you. It is purely how your mind reacts to things. And obviously, when it comes to money, gambling with money and trying to make this money or whatever it may be, then that can make it a lot more intense, and it actually becomes debilitating, that it actually hinders you and stops you as opposed to enabling you to move on. So if we're betting to win money and we're under pressure, your chance is hindered. And the first question, I guess, if you're in that situation, before we get on to goals in general, is if it is something that's causing you a lot of angst, trying to win this money to cause you a lot of angst, surely you should be looking at removing that. And what else could I do in the time being to earn, make a few quid that would relieve that pressure? But in betting, just sitting there, you know, trying to learn it, putting yourself under pressure, perhaps not making money and deriding your luck. It's always me, it's always my, always happens to me. Genuinely, I don't think you've got any chance. You know, unfortunately, in this game, if you do it seriously, you will soon find out pretty much whatever you do, until you become really skilled at it, and there's different forms of betting, trading, obviously, that nothing ever really falls into your nice, uniform, monthly way that will fit in with your expectations. I've always sort of had the view of expect the unexpected, plan for it. I've not always got it right myself, but that's how I tend to go. I tend to try and be quite, risk averse, if you like, in how I set myself up, just to encounter for things that are unexpected. But if we move this money and just said, right, let's set goals and plan and focus on process, we know where we can head to, and then you can bet and trade in a much more relaxed manner. I think the phrase I've used before is a zen-like sort of manner, and I believe that is a real key to success. I think that if you get down that road, you can. And I think we need to rein that right back. You know, I always liken this to other jobs of success in this, that if you want to become a lawyer, you go off and do 4 years training. You don't go and dive straight into a court of law or into books to defend a case. You don't, if you're a doctor, surgeon, you don't go straight into the operating room with a knife and somebody goes, go and give it a go, mate, see what happens. And I think, you know, obviously that's a goal. So somebody, whatever, they go through education, they decide what they want to do. That's a goal, that I want to be that. And then they look at how do I become that, and they plan it, and they go. So they might not be sitting doing every step of the way, because there's courses and things that can take them there, where in betting, trading, there isn't. You've got to do that learning phase, if you like, yourself. But there's still a plan there. There's still, this is what I want to be, that's the end game, and there's a process to get there. And I think if you look at this game in that way, there's a fair chance of succeeding, as opposed to this diving straight in. So setting goals is a subject all in itself, and I'm just going to talk about that for a little bit. You know, if you speak to most people about setting goals, resolutions, New Year would be the time that would spring to mind for most, to announce goals and these miraculous changes in their life. You know, it's a magical date where everything will suddenly improve and get better. My mum, who I mentioned in episode one, always starting a diet on New Year, always, every single year, as long as I can remember. And then that was normally in the bin by about the 3rd of January, and then it became for the next 5 months every sort of Monday. I used to, you know, genuinely, it was a sort of standing joke. Oh no, yeah, I'll start my diet on Monday. I used to sit there myself, even as a kid, you said, why Monday? And you know, the initial goal rarely made it past. So I researched this week to have a look at it, and I found an American study who, those who made New Year's resolutions, goals, whatever we want to call it for New Year, 25% had dropped it in the first week. 29% had dropped it by the second week. 36% had dropped it after a month. So a third of people had done, a third of a people, 31 days was too much. 6 months in, 54% had packed it in, so now we're well over half. So obviously, if you do a month, there's a fair chance that you might carry on for a bit longer. But by six months in, 54% of people had packed it in. And getting after 6 months, when they went back to those people, only 4%, 4 in 100, if you like, 4% went on to say they were successful in completing or reaching or carrying on their goals that they set out. another study in early 2000 found that 52% of people who set New Year's resolutions were confident of success. So, the guy, I am going to do this, this is it this time, confident of success. 8 months later, only 12% of those people still claimed it as a success. They did exactly the same study, and that was early 2000s, 10 years later, and that number had dropped to 9% from a similar number, 52% being confident. The actual 8 months on, when they went back to them, claiming it as a success was dropped down to 9%. So we're getting worse, not better. You know, all this new self-help stuff and that available in the world over just that short period of time, and we're actually getting worse. Obviously, they get bracketed. The most popular goals and resolutions are exercise, more exercise, eating healthier, losing weight, save money, quit smoking. A further study in Sweden looked at this and broke them down, and 70% of the goals and resolutions that we set focus on physical health, 10% focus on self-improvement, and only 5% focus on psychological health. So really interesting that sort of most people start off, I want to eat better or health or whatever it may be, you know, lose weight, and self-improvement, you know, finances, things like that, only 10%. Biggest reasons for failure are mostly unrealistic goals. So people just set goals that they're completely unrealistic and not planned out, not keeping track of progress. And amazingly, 23% of people forgot. I mean, I'm not even sure where you go with that. I'm not even sure what you do. And 10% of the people who set goals in this study in Sweden just made the process far too complicated and too many goals without any structure to it. So whilst I can talk about goal setting, and it's something that I've done and worked on for the last couple of years myself, I'm perhaps not the best person to have on side in this field, as I am a bit no-nonsense, not really into lazy people and excuse makers, you know, tend to actually get me a bit wound up, I get a bit passionate about it, and I tend to be the sort of person who lets them know it. I certain things I just don't understand. If you want to lose weight, I genuinely believe physically it's not difficult. Stop eating. And I don't mean stop eating completely, but just stop eating the wealth of food that you're eating. It is a calories in, calories out conundrum. Stop eating. Stop stuffing your face. Eat better quality foods. Eat smaller portions. Me personally, I plan a menu every week, and I've done so for 20 plus years. I buy then shop to that menu. And then I cook to that menu, which stops me buying food that I don't need. It stops me buying food that will be a waste. So if I'm only having, let's say I'm having a roast dinner with carrots and I'm not buying carrots, need carrots for the rest of the week, I don't need to buy a kilo bag of carrots. I can just buy a couple of carrots. They're not sitting there then, although carrots have gone off, whatever it may be. And I don't buy, the biggest reason is I then don't buy food that I don't need. I don't find food that is unnecessary and unhealthy. I think if you've got these things in the house and in around you, it makes it harder to ignore them. If you don't buy them in the first place, they're not there for you to eat. So don't buy crisps and biscuits and stuff like that. I accept that there's psychological battles with it, but I've never really got comfort eating. I just don't really get it. It always comes back to the same sort of looped conversation for me. I'm fat, I'm miserable. Okay, you're fat and you're miserable. So what are you doing about it? Well, then I comfort eat. But doesn't that make you fat? And then that makes you miserable. Yeah, but when I eat that bit of chocolate, it makes me happy. Really? Is that short-term fix worth the long-term pain? As I say, I think I'm black and white, and most of that nonsense for me is just people making excuses to just not get the job done. I was unhappy and needed some chocolate. It's not for me. It doesn't really wash. And it just excuses. It just does me in. I always come round, and we do judge people, don't we? You have a conversation with people, and I go, you're just making excuses, mate. It's just another excuse in a long line of excuses from excuse land, because you can't be bothered, and you want somebody to do everything for you. things like my mum, I'll start next week. So I'm going to give up smoking, I'll start next week. Well, why are you going to start next week? Why don't you start now? Go and put them in the bin, throw the lighters in the bin, and don't have another cigarette. Stop. Simple. No one ever went to rehab for not smoking, I assure you. It's excuses, delays, you know, it all comes under the same umbrella. Lack of planning, lack of goal setting, sweeping statements that are pretty meaningless. I'll tell my mates I want to lose weight because it sounds good, and that's what they'll want to hear. And then actually when you're still 20 stone in 6 months, all you actually do is just look like a lazy prat, and your respect that you may have garnered with them starts to just whittle down because they look at him and go, well, he never actually follows through that, does he? You know, and betting, trading is exactly the same. It falls into this bracket. I want to make a success of it. I want to do it. I will make a success of it. I can do it. But I can only do it if that guy posts his bets and I can follow them, as I can't actually be asked to put any work in and do this myself. So if he keeps giving me stuff, then and he's all right and he's quite good, then I'll do that. But I don't need to do it myself. Just see what happens. It has to be down to you. It has to be about the way you go about it. And the only way to go about it, genuinely, that I believe now, and my view on this has changed over the years as I've sort of changed and got older, is you have to set goals, plan what you're doing. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. You know, it doesn't matter whether we're talking weight loss, doing this for a living, betting, trading, whatever. I believe it's the same for anything, that you've got much more chance of success if you actually plan it out, put some actions in place, put some goal setting in place, make them accountable, that you have, whatever you turn your mind to, you've got much more chance of success. And I think, you know, one of the common themes through successful people is that that is the process they have of being goal setting and striving to achieve these goals. So goals need to be measurable, they need to be actionable, they need to be realistic, they need to be timed. Interestingly, in the research of this bit, I found a study for men. Why they focused on men, I don't know, but it was for men, that showed they were 22% more likely to succeed in change if they accepted the concept of self-efficacy, which is a concept developed by a psychologist, Albert Bandura. And that basically refers to an individual's beliefs to execute behaviour necessary to produce specific performance attainment. So, for example, somebody struggling to manage a chronic illness, but they believe and have a self-belief that and confidence that they can get back on track and improve their health by working hard and following the correct medical advice. So rather than sitting there and Googling and trying to set themselves, they go and get medical advice and they sort of commit to following that, and that gives them the self-belief that they will get there. So it is a type of self-belief, this self-efficacy, and it's a 22% more chance to succeed from that study. Whereas relying on social support, conversely, produce negative outcomes. So in other words, relying on others to do stuff for you or trying to hide within a group, which is a massive one in punting, was detrimental to goal achievements. And that's really apt in the betting trading world. So I think you've got to, again, get out and plan it yourself and get this self-belief and set a path. And I don't see, well, I don't have any self-belief. You develop it by setting a path, by setting these goals and working through them. You actually get to see where you're going. So for my goal setting, when I sat down and talked to a woman a while back, I got into putting them into pots, so health, wealth, family, etc. You know, it can be personal to you. So basically breaking up the elements of your life and then setting goals in each one. So if you want to lose weight or do more exercise, for me, sleep was a massive thing, and I'll come on to sleep in a bit. I was a terrible sleeper 3 years ago and I wanted to improve my sleep. So you break them up. So one of my big health goals was sleep. As I say, wealth, more time with the family, whatever it may be, personal to you. And then you have goals within that, within those sections. So it doesn't just become now, oh, I want to be a professional, better trader. You're going to work on your health and fitness, which make you more mentally alert. You're going to set a wealth plan, so where you're trying to get to, you're then going to have goals within your family and spending time with them, or things you want to do, holidays, whatever it may be. That can be anything. Once you've got all these listed out and you sort of make yourself accountable, what if I fail these, what's going to happen if I fail them? So you've not only got goals and a plan now then, but you've got a what if I fail them, and you should write that down. What's going to happen if I fail them? Where am I going to end up? And they're personal. You can then break them into timelines, which ones you can deal with now, not next week, not I'm starting now, what can you deal with now? And you can plan those out with, for an immediate start, with small little bite-sized action steps. What ones are then longer term, 3 to 5 years, planned out accordingly? So if you want to become a better trader, it isn't going to be next week. It is going to be a 3-5 year journey. Plan it out into small chunks that you can act on, deliver and measure. And all of that takes work. All of it will produce its own mental battles. Don't let it become excuses. And you know, Dave did an exercise about asking some people to write down 100 reasons why they must achieve things. So, and it wasn't really after 100, but it was a test to see to people, can you do it? Because a lot of people go, 100? I can't do that. And they give up before they even start. So, you know, it does take work. Everything takes work. And we all, as I said, you know, go back to last week, we all have our own issues and mental battles. It's the excuses that I can't be doing with. It's people making excuses all the time. I can't do this, I can't do that. Looking to blame others, worrying what others think all the time. So let's say the goal is I want to become a successful trader better. That's the overall goal. Overall goal, it's a bit of a nothing statement. I want to become a successful trader better, but that's the overall goal. First thing is, what does it actually mean and what is involved? What research have you done to see how that plays out? You know, I don't just say, oh, I'm going to go and become a civil engineer, because I don't know what it is. What is that? What do they do? What's involved in it? I've no idea. Before I even made that statement, I'd have to... I don't want to become a civil engineer until I actually know what's involved and what have I got to do. And then I look at it and go, actually, that sounds all right. How do I get there then? But let's say I want to be a successful trader better. What research have you done to see how that plays out? What are you going to do to make it happen? And being realistic, and I'll be frankly honest, if you think it's going to be 12 months, I can tell you you're miles out. Miles out. I would say, you know, there isn't a qualification in this, if you like, but I would say 3 to 5 years minimum. Minimum, if you start today to look at it and do it properly. For me, then, it becomes a series of questions, and I'll give you a sample list. It's not exhaustive, but... one, what are you defining as successful? It will be unique to you. What's successful for me may be completely different to successful for you. What skills do you have? What experience do you have? What sport are you going to focus on? You know, one of the big things, again, I'll cover this next week in the next episode in planning, is people trying to do everything. What time do you have available? What funds do you have available? What weaknesses do you have? What threats are there to you achieving this goal? So a sample of a threat may be Betfair's affordability checks. You know, how would you get around those if they came about? How will it impact your family? What's actually going to happen at home, in your home life, if we start down this road? So as I answer these questions, I sit and I've write them down, and then I have answers to them. They then raise up all the issues. From those issues, then I can plot my task to achieve this goal that I need to either do or overcome or fix or remove, and then I can learn the skills requisite, do further reading or learning in for my weaknesses and skills, can do financial planning to cover bad times, I can plan my family time, I can research the sports I need. All of the little tasks then that I've broken this chunk up into, this I want to become a professional trader, all the issues it raises, all the chunks it breaks up, I can list them out manageable. So this week I'm going to sort that out. I need to do some further reading there. I need to get my finances there. I need to have documentation ready for Betfair or bookmakers there, whatever it may be. And all each little task will move me closer to my overall goal. The guy who does all that has a lot more chance than the guy who flicks a laptop open, thinks, I know a bit about football or racing. and start trading your money away. It's the classic old saying, isn't it? Fail to prepare, prepare to fail. Again, I'm black and white. Betting trading is maths, plain and simple. The actual mechanics of it is mathematics. People don't fail because of the mathematics. They fail because of a complete lack of preparation in how that maths works, a complete lack of understanding how it plays out over time, the mental battles it will throw at you, laziness, excuses thinking they are better than they are or it is easy. As I talk about it now, as I'm just listing all this stuff, how mental it is that people, you know, I'm asking how mental it is that people dive into this game completely ill-prepared. You know, and I go back again, if we're rolling back money into the motivator and the fact you almost certainly lose money, you know, without going through a proper planning process and goal setting process, it's going to make that scenario worse. You know, it's like the guy losing weight and then just eating 12 donuts a day. It ain't going to work. Learn the process, test with small stakes, plan for every eventuality. And then only then should you really step into this world gradually and fully. I'm constantly amazed at the people who throw money at this. I tell everybody, you know, one of my main mantras I try and say to people, small stakes, etc. But they want to rush in, they want to up their stakes, all about the money, money, money. And then, of course, the bad run comes and they curse their luck. If they'd set goals, map them out, ask the questions, set a plan, you know, you'd have more chance of success. And if you did it all to small money first, so you learn all this process, can do all the testing, can test yourself up in bad runs, whatever, you're just so much more prepared. And if you can do it, you know, ultimately making money with small money is hard. But if you know you've got money available down the road, if you do it with small stakes and learn all that, if you can't do it with tenners and twenties, you've got absolutely no chance of doing it with fifties, hundreds, 200s. Where particularly if money's the motivator, you're putting more of this, you know, self-inflicted pressure on yourself. You know, I do maintain that we can all do this. Most don't through it. Do it. Most don't succeed or do it through a fault, not of anyone but themselves. Complete lack of respect for the processes and approach needed, the skills that need to be learned. And with those, if you can do it relaxed in a small stake, you know, and see all these highs and lows, understand markets, I do really think you've got a great chance. So it all starts really for me with the goal setting, you know, and I want to be a better trader, just one. You know, I said sleep's really important. I get people to stay up late as if it's a real macho thing. You know, I just stay up late. There was a sleep study I read. I was horrendous with sleep, and mine was driven by the fact that I had to get up every morning and run a process, which I've subsequently removed from my life. But for everything that you do, sleep is one of the most vital things. For those trying to lose weight or eat healthy, a lack of sleep decreases leptin, which is the hormone that makes you feel full. It actually boosts the hunger hormone, increases appetite, promotes fat storage, and obviously then causes poor food choices. For those with fitness goals, adequate sleep improves speed, strength and endurance. So obviously a lack of sleep, then those areas are going to be affected. For those aiming to improve work performance, let's take what we do. If we say better as traders, lack of sleep definitely leads to reduced productivity, makes you not alert, not as alert, not as motivated, not as cheerful. Lack of sleep contributes to poor mood, and actually makes apparently worse social interactions. So sleep is really, really important. And I think that if you're one of them, yeah, well, I just stay up late, mate, as if it's a macho thing. And I used to use it a bit like that. So yeah, I only had 2 hours sleep. It's actually really detrimental to you. And I think everybody should try and change their sleep pattern to get to bed, you know, before midnight, and try and get a good 7-8 hours. I just think you will function so much better. But you need, you know, going back to this, those who are serious and want to do this, start on those today. And I think you want goals and plans, do the pots, as I said, get them done. map them out in relation to where you want to be. Look at what you can solve now and deal with that. Plan the other stuff out over 3 to 5 years with it all being actionable. Set yourself timelines. Right, so I need to revisit that. You know, this is where people give up. I need to revisit that in March. You know, we've all got phones and calendars and things now. Right, April 30th. Right, what have I done? What do I need to do? And move it on down the line. And if you want to do this game, get a timeline for it and look at what you can do and learn now and stop relying on other people. You know, we're going to talk a lot in this over a lot of the mechanics and the maths and how we can go about this next week. We'll talk a bit more next episode about planning, but all the other stuff, you know, stop trying to run around, do everything. Oh, I've heard he makes money doing that, so I'm going to go and do that. If that's not for you, leave it alone. Get a plan on what you're doing. So if you're learning to trade football, focus on trading football. Running down the back of a horse at wherever or a golf or wherever, that doesn't fit in with your plan, does it? So ignore it and focus. Use that time on what you want to do this better. Similarly, if you're a horse trader, ignore the football, you know, whatever it may be. But we'll, so that's planning. We'll you know, goals and goal setting, get that mapped out. I'll talk a bit more about the planning in the next episode.